praise the Lord. That's a very beautiful chorus, but it's a true chorus. It's true. Jesus Christ has never failed me yet. I'm older than two or three of you put together. Pushing 80 years old and preaching 57 of them. And I can truthfully stand in the public anywhere, before anybody and tell them Jesus Christ has never failed me. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I say that for the benefit of some of you younger ones that still got your bigger part of your life before you. Have no fear. The grace that has brought you to where you are will take you on. The Lord will see you through. You're His. You are His. Redeemed by His blood, filled with His Spirit, buried in His name. Boy, that makes you personal property to Him. I thank the Lord for the family of God. I say we're kin. We're kin. A lot of people say, blood's thicker than water. I'm more than water kin with you. I'm blood kin. Spirit kin. Name kin. I told somebody this morning, I'm going to be nobody in heaven, but who's here? And Jesus, I still want to go. How many of you still want to go? Praise the Lord. 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 I'm reading one verse of Scripture in the book of Isaiah, chapter 28, verse 10. Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 10. I too immensely enjoyed our dear brother Williams last night. In fact, when I noticed on the advertisements that he was going to be here, I was just excited about it. And Brother Rodenbush called him up. I thought, yes, sir, I would have if I'd had the authority, but I didn't have the authority. Brother Rodenbush got it. Glad he's on the platform. And I'm going to tell these dear, precious men, God bless them, they are great. These board members out here, they're powerful men. But I have no thought of preaching to you. No thought. I'm preaching to these missionaries. That's what I come for. I didn't come to preach to you fellas. And you didn't come to hear me. And I got sense enough to know it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 28 and 10. For precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line, line upon line. Here a little and there a little. And I'm going to preach from this verse this morning. But I'm going to minister to you from the thought of an unwritten precept. Now, this verse is referring to the Bible. A precept is a written action ordered by a judge. A rule of action. It's a precept. And the writer said, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. But I'm going to preach on something that is not written. An unwritten precept. And I want to bless you with it if I possibly can, because it sure has blessed me. Now let's bring all of our thoughts into captivity and don't speak to anyone while we worship the Lord a few minutes. Would you do that? Praise God. Lord, your blessings. We need them today. We need you, Lord. I do not question, Lord, you laying this upon our heart in prayer. I want to share it with these angel missionaries, these people present. Thank the Lord. 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 You may be seated. God bless your precious, precious hearts. I'm going back into the early chapters of the book of Genesis, remind you of an incident, occasion that you really know all about, but I'm going to remind you of it today. Abraham is up in years. He's very anxious about an heir, and he has none. Finally, the Lord gave him Isaac. And after Isaac is grown to be a man, Abraham calls one of his most loyal and dependent servants to him. He said, I want you to put your hand on my thigh and swear that you will not take a wife for my son Isaac from among these Canaanites, but you'll go back to my people and you'll there find a wife for my son Isaac. Well, this faithful servant was ready to do anything that his master commanded him, but to take an oath that he would bring someone back with him, it involved someone else's will. And he wasn't ready to take that oath. And he told Abraham, he said, What if the individual will not come back with me? And here I am bound under this oath. And Abraham said, you go. You go. And if you find someone and they will not return with you, then you're relieved of this oath. And that's very encouraging to me. I know you missionaries would hate to go to the field under oath that you're going to convert so many people to the Lord. You wouldn't go under those conditions. I wouldn't. I've been invited down through the years to preach many revivals, but I wouldn't have taken an oath from no one that so many is going to receive the Holy Ghost. That involves someone else's will. And this servant knew it. He's ready to go. Now, since Abraham said, if they don't come, you'll be relieved of this oath. He's on his way. He gets him a train of camels and so many servants. He's on his way to Mesopotamia. And I just imagine such a mission, How is he going to just walk up to a strange young lady and tell her that he wants her to go be Isaac's wife? I believe I'd rather take a Bible and go to the pulpit and preach a sermon as to have a mission like that. And he, no doubt, had turned over in his mind time and time again on his journey just what he was going to do. And eventually he decided, I'm going to the well. I'm going to the well. And as the young maidens come out to draw water, I'm going to ask them for a drink. And if they give me a drink of water, I'm not going to ask nothing else. I'm not going to say nothing else. But if they obey an unwritten precept, if they will voluntarily, of their own initiative, or if she will, say, I'll water your camels, then I'm going to introduce myself to her and tell her my business. But I want you to notice the surroundings here. He had a number of servants with him. Why couldn't they draw the water for the camels? And why didn't Rebecca think about, I expect a lot of us would have thought, let your own servants water your camels. A lot of us would have thought that. I remember after I was pastoring, away from home, I was driving through my hometown, going somewhere, and I wanted to see my brother. My brother, just younger than me, he was killed in World War II. And of course, this is before that. And they said he was in the pool hall. Pool hall is right uptown. And I went, drove up in front, and I saw an acquaintance there that I knew very well. And I asked him, I said, would you go in the pool hall and tell my brother I want to see him? And he backed off and looked at me. Just looked at me. And he said, well, what would keep you from going in there and seeing your brother? I don't mind going, but what's the matter with you? Well, it opened up an opportunity to witness to him. I said, well, you know I'm a minister. You know that. I could walk in there and get him and bring him out. But I don't want nobody to see me walk in there. They'd have questions that no one would answer. I don't want to see him. I don't want them to see me. Well, Rebecca could have had such thoughts. He didn't much more than get all this out of his thinking, but here came Rebecca to draw a pitcher of water. She drew the pitcher of water. He stood there and watched her, and she's walking away from the well with it. And he walked up to her and said, give me a drink. Sure, she takes the pitcher down, and she gives him a drink of water, and I imagine he's drinking slow, giving her plenty of time to say what he wanted her to say. Listening. And it is precious moments right there. Those were very precious moments. Lots going to be determined whether or not. She said to him, I'll water your camels. There's these servants sitting over there doing nothing, just sitting over there by the well. And I just have a feeling it run through her thinking, why couldn't they? But she offered to the water. Now I'm going to ask you a question and you answer it. What had she not have obeyed that unwritten precept? Would we be preaching about her today as virtuous, clean, chaste, beautiful as she was? Bible said she was a virgin, pure. But would we be preaching about her today had she not have obeyed that unwritten precept? Now you just answer that. If it took that, along with all of her holiness, if it took that, obeying an unwritten precept, to place her in the position that she would go down in the annals of God as a type of the bride of Christ, what is it going to take to put us in the bride of Christ? And she watered the camels. And then he began to give her gifts. I don't want to say it, but I think it. I gave her gold bracelets. She sure couldn't wear them here. That's in the book. Gold chain round her neck, just decked her with gold ornaments. Now, I don't want them. I don't want you people to leave here thinking things about me. I hadn't been preaching, pastoring too long until a jewelerman and his wife received the Holy Ghost. He run a jewelry store. And they were just carried away with the church. And he gave me a wedding band. Well, I took it. I put it on my finger. And I noticed, preaching, I preached this way. Get out over here. Just like this arm was tied to my body. I got thinking, that thing's not going to weight me down. I pulled it off. I don't know what's become of it. Now I can preach this away. And she told Abraham's servant who she was, and connected with the family. He asked if he could go home with her, spend the night. Oh yes, we've got provender for your camels and places for your servants, and went and got her brother, and he came and took care of all the camels and stock and took them to the house, and they had a big introduction. And then here's what I like. They wanted to serve him a dinner, which is just natural, no doubt expected, but he said no, I can't sit down and eat dinner until I tell you my mission. My mission comes first. My business here comes first. And then I'll sit down and eat with you. And Now, we could preach a long time on that. Thank God, and I think it needs it. Praise the Lord. Jesus, our great example, never allowed nothing to interfere with His purpose for coming to this earth. Never. Sleep, eat, nor nothing else. And I feel like that you and I, we're in the greatest kingdom on earth, the greatest cause on earth. And I feel like if we want to be successful in the work we're doing for God, we must put Him first.
Amen.
Don't let anything in the world interfere with your business for being where you are, where you're going. Take care of that and then these other things. That's the order that the Lord gave us. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now you can, I'm going to call the name of the church, and you can see the pastor, and you can ask him about it anytime you want to. Sister Glass and I went to Pensacola, Florida in 1968 to hold Brother Welch a revival. And I felt this on my heart. I felt it very strongly. First night was on a Sunday night, and I took all the time I wanted, and I talk slow, you know that. And don't try to hurry me up. You can't do it. I don't know how to hurry. And I read that verse of Scripture. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, etc. And I said, I'm going to ask this church to reschedule your life for 1 month. Sit down and reschedule it. And for 1 month in your life, put God first in everything. I said, now you think you're putting Him first now, but you aren't. You aren't. This passage of Scripture says, take no thought what ye shall eat and drink and put on, but seek first. Now, we put Him first before we go to the movie. Oh, yeah. That's easy. Before we drink, we put Him first. But those things that are essential to our existence, such as eating and drinking and wearing, He don't interfere much there with us. Oh, sir, we going to take care of that. And then we won't go to show and we won't drink and we won't smoke and we're putting God first. No, you're not putting God first. And I stressed it. I mean, I stressed it for something like 2 hours. And God bless your heart, they took me up on it. Now, they really did. We had services every night, Monday, Tuesday, Saturday, never took off for nothing. Every night. And God got to being so first in the lives of those people until sinners begin to come in and put Him first. One Sunday night, a fine-looking young man, handsome, parked a beautiful automobile on the parking lot. Walked in and sat down on the back seat. And by the time the altar call was open, he was in the altar seeking God for the Holy Ghost. He rolled over on his back with that new suit on, seeking the Lord. Somewhere around 11 or 12 o'clock, left, and he didn't receive the Holy Ghost. Monday night, he was back. And if I thought he was dressed up Sunday night, boy, just wait. Monday night, He was mic'd out. And on his arm was a beautiful young lady. And word got up to the platform that they had just married. And Brother Welch asked him from the pulpit, "Is it true that you have just married?" And they answered it was true. And he dedicated them a song. And I preached, and that young man left his bride on the back seat of the church and came and sought God till after 11 o'clock. Now that's the spirit was getting in that church, putting God first. First! First. And I'll tell you this, our Lord can look any of us in the face and ask us to put Him first.
Yes, sir.
There's only one person in this building that I could do that to, but He can do it to any of us. I can look my wife in the face and expect and ask her to put me first in her life because I put her first in mine. And God has placed us first with Him. We're first. I mean, you're first, not second nowhere. He can expect that of us. That boy didn't get the Holy Ghost Monday night. Tuesday night, they both came back, went to the altar, and both received the Holy Ghost. Now, that's putting God first. There was a young lady in that church taking, they call it cramming for exams in college. And she listened to me appealing to reschedule and put God first, and she purposed in her heart she wasn't going to miss a service nor nothing in the service. But just as soon as the altar service is over, I'm leaving, getting my books. I'm not going to go drive in and get no hamburger, no drink. I'm going straight to my books and I'm going to study. Get up in the morning and study. I'm not going to miss a service nor nothing in the service. But when it's over, I'm gone. That's one reason why people can't attend too many services regular. They'll stay an hour after the service is over and blame the preacher for preaching too long.
They do it
where I come from. Praise the Lord. This sermon, no sir, I can't eat. I know you've prepared a good dinner, but I'm here on my master's business. And it's first. Let me tell you about my business, and then we'll eat. I like that. I like to see people put God first. Praise the Lord. Now, she obeyed the unwritten precept. And now she's just about to become the bride of Isaac and a type of the bride of Christ. Now, I'm just letting you answer some questions. If she had not have said, "I water you camels," would her name have ever gone down in the Bible? He probably waited for the next one, the next one, the next one. But an unwritten precept put her in the annals of God, type of the bride of Christ, and way down here in this 20th century we're preaching about her. Now, she could have taken any course. She could have drawn her pitcher of water. That's what she went to the well to do. And she could have put it on her shoulder and she could have gone on back to the house. Done nothing wrong. Haven't sinned. Obeyed my parents.
Or she could have taken another course. She could have given the man a drink, not turning a stranger away. She could have given him a drink of water, then brought her another pitcher of water, put it on her shoulder, and gone on home. And she's failed nobody. Failed nobody. Nobody could point a finger at her. Nobody. A lot of time we have our poor pastors today, they're preaching their heart out to the people, trying to get them to obey the precepts. Not talking about an unwritten, trying to get them to obey. And they'll argue with a written precept or reading it. Our pastors are fighting. We got a good one. Brother Rex Johnson is one of the finest men I've ever known. And he couldn't treat me no better if he tried. He really couldn't. I mean, he's kind to me. And I sit there in that audience and hear him pour his heart out to those people trying to get them to line up to what they were one time lined up to. Just kind of drifting, just slowly but surely. And he's fighting. And I'm not just talking about him. All of them in our area, the country, battling. Here I am trying to encourage you to try to find something to do that you aren't told to do. Nobody told me to do this. I'm doing it because I want to. I love God.
Praise the Lord.
You preach with me here now. Jesus, he's ministering on the earth. He met 10 lepers. Now, they were lepers. And these lepers cried out to him to have mercy on them. And he said, go show yourself to the priest. And as they went, the scripture said they were cleansed. Now you preach with me. Nothing else is said. Nothing else is said. They, in fact, they're doing exactly what Jesus told them to do. Exactly. Go show yourself to the priest, and they're going. But one of them saw that he was cleansed. And nobody said a word to him. Nobody. He turned around and fell at the feet of Jesus and began to worship and praise. Unwritten precept. Unwritten. If I'd say right now, let's everybody stand up, lift up your hands and praise the Lord. You do it. But I wonder how much attention God pays to it. You're doing it because you were asked to. If I'd say, Brother Turner, come up here and shake hands with our assistant general superintendent and tell him you appreciate him, you'd do it. These people have watched you do it. You'd come up here and come to Brother Williams and get him by the hand and shake his hand. Brother Williams, I appreciate you. But how much attention does he pay to that? You're doing it because I told you to. And he knows it. Oh, he'd say, thank you. I love you, Brother Turner. But if you just on your own initiative, after the service is all over, walk up to him, Brother Williams, I appreciate you. I thank God for you. Thank God for your service to the cause of God. Now he's appreciating that. Nobody told you to. That's on your own. And I sometimes think the Lord appreciates us just lifting up our hand. Nobody told me to do it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. When I was pastoring the church, I was always begging them to go to the prayer room, begging them to worship, begging them if we'd have a praise service. You know, our Pentecostal churches just about quit having praise service. Why? It's embarrassing to have 200 or 300 people sitting out there and trying to have a praise service. You got 2 minutes of silence.
Right.
I tell churches where I pastor, after a while, you watch it. We're going to open our services and say, Brother Jones, will you lead us in prayer? Why are we going to do that, Brother Greg? Because people have quit praying.
That's right.
We stand up, everybody, let's stand up and pray. You time them. 30 seconds and it's all over. I love to see people, oh, I'm going to church early tonight. I want to go to the prayer room. I want to pray a while. Praise God and come into the service. Get a song book. Sing! I don't care if you're on the back seat or the front seat. Sing! Praise the Lord. Worship God. If they have a praise service, jump on your feet and bless the Lord. Nobody telling you to. You're getting somewhere then. Spontaneous praise. Unwritten precept. Praise the Lord! Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I got just a few more minutes and we'll mention one more. It's very touching to me. Nehemiah was a cupbearer, king's palace. And he just heard from source that the walls of the city of Jerusalem was torn down. It affected Nehemiah. That wouldn't affect everybody. And he wasn't supposed to come before the king. He was cupbearer with a sad countenance. He's supposed to be joyful. I sometimes think that's the way we ought to come before our King. Praise the Lord. One day he came before the king, and the king noticed it, mentioned it. You have a sad countenance. And really, it frightened Nehemiah. He was fearful of what the king was going to do. Him with a sad countenance. He's not supposed to come before the king. What is the matter? And Nehemiah said, well, how could I come any other way when the walls of Jerusalem are torn down, cities attacked it? How could I come any other way? And the queen was there with the king. And the king wanted to know what he could do. What could he do about it? The queen wanted to know. Well, if you just let me off, let me go build them back. Nobody told him to. Nobody. He'd got a job, good position, cupbearer before the king. He could have just let it roll, let it fall, let it rot, but just hold my job and enjoy a good time in this part of the country. But not Nehemiah. Of God. The cause of God. He loved the city of God. Well, if I'd let you go, how long would you be gone? He figured out a time, and I imagine he must have given quite a bit of time because there was a lot to do. And the king wrote him letters to kings between where they were in Jerusalem, and then wrote letters helping him to get materials to build the wall. That is all an unwritten precept. Unwritten. And I'm going to tell you, folks, I don't know where we'd be today if there wasn't some good people somewhere that obey unwritten precepts. Right. Praise God, praise God. You have. Nobody can show you in the Bible where God said, brother and sister Turner, go to Korea. Not in there. Thank God for men and women that love God enough to go on beyond what the written word says and volunteer in the services that counts for God. That brings us to where we are. We got towering churches and steeples and what have you throughout our fellowship. I can't find nowhere in the Bible where God told somebody to go there and do it, but they did it because they loved God. Let's don't content ourselves by just obeying the Bible and brag about it. Go on beyond and do things God would have you to do that nowhere in the world has He told you to do it. But He could be peeping over the balcony to see if you're going to do it. Situate you in situations to give you a chance to do what He wants done. I think about Esther. Why was Esther chosen king? My book, for more than one reason. But one was God was situating her to where she could do something to save her people. And God just situated her as queen and gave her favor with the king. Well, where is any of that written? But thank God. God just works if we work with Him.
Oh,